Hey, this is Golden Tate, and you're listening to the Pride of Detroit podcast.
Detroit podcast, PODcast for your ears. PrideofDetroit.com for everything you need about the Detroit Lions, the NFL, from SB Nation at Pride of Detroit on Twitter. This is the Pride of Detroit PODcast. It's our podcast. It's the audio version of Pride of Detroit for your ears. We're in your ears like a pack of lions. They're just tearing at your eardrums, trying to rip them apart. You know, you're not going to be able to hear anything except for us by the time we're done. I am Chris Lemieux, at Adequate Host, your host and producer. A very adequate host. It's the second time we're doing this intro. Our first one crapped out. Jeremy Reisman is here. He's not laughing this time. So, hello, Jeremy.
Hi. It was a good second effort. It's unfortunate the people didn't hear your first amazing effort, but...
This is the problem every time we have these technical difficulties, because the spontaneity is lost, and I no longer have Jeremy Reisman at Detroit Online laughing, and I certainly don't have Ryan Matthews Black is the motherfucking rock guy. At Ryan underscore POD laughing, but he is here as well. He is the rock god is here. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, guys. I'm reporting live from an area of Michigan that has power.
Very rare case. How are you managing the power? Generator, hamsters.
Yeah, I was gonna
pasties.
Say we actually have a Wolverine that Wally has trained to run on a wheel outside of our house, and it keeps it all powered up.
That's wonderful. I didn't even realize Wolverines were still in like that part of Michigan.
They're not. Wally had to travel to the Upper Peninsula.
Did he go to the Upers?
He caged one and brought it back. Now we're harnessing its power for good rather than evil, like they usually do on Saturdays.
Did he bring back pasties, too?
Well, he's a simple man, so yes, he brought back some pasties.
Awesome. Awesome. This is very Michigan right here. I love it. We just need to include, like, Traverse City or Sag Nasty in here, and we'll have, like, bingo.
Or we could include a former Eastern Michigan alum.
Oh, is that how we're transitioning into this?
Yes, sir.
Let's go. Okay. It is free agency. I would say for the Lions, the first wave of free agency is finally crested. There might be some surprise signings, but I think they've spent a lot of their big money right now. And Lions Nation, say goodbye to Reef and Warford. Say hello to Lang and Wagner. Where do you guys want to start? Do you want to start with the Lang, or do you want to start with the Wagner?
I mean, I don't know. There's a lot to digest here, because this is not at all what I was expecting out of the first week of free agency. I think we all came in thinking, sure, the right side of the offensive line is important, but this team needs defense, right? This team needs a defensive playmaker. We're all talking about Logan Ryan, about Donta Hightower. Lions aren't even rumored to be interested in any of those guys. And, you know, now Lang is gone. Ryan is gone. Donta Hightower is still out there, but the Lions don't have enough money to get him at this point. But the Lions went out. Not only did they say goodbye to Warford and Reef, but they upgraded both those spots. Am I right?
They did. I wholeheartedly think they did. And I don't think it even... I wouldn't even bat an eye at the thought that, you know, somebody thinks that the Lions didn't upgrade the entire right side of their offensive line. I mean, this is what they did. They got rid of Warford, and they got rid of Reef, and they upgraded at both of those positions, and they did it for presumably what I'm going to assume that they did it for less money.
At both spots, yeah. I think you're right.
At both spots, yeah. I mean, I think Warford's contract will be slightly richer than Lang's because of age. But Wagner, even though he got a lot of money because he's a right tackle, he didn't get the money that Reef got because Reef is going to, you know, anchor the left side of Minnesota's offensive line. And I bet you that Ezekiel Ansah can't wait to play him twice a year.
Yeah, and just to kind of throw out the numbers out there for people that aren't aware, Warford got 4 years, $34 million, so just north of about eight and a half million per year. Rick Wagner got 5 years, $47.5 million, compared to Reeves. He got an $11 million signing bonus, so he got 5 years, $58.75 million, so over $11 million a year compared to about nine and a half for Wagner. So yeah, that's a pretty
Rick, don't call me Ricky Wagner.
That's a pretty significant, at least on the Rick Wagner side, that's a pretty significant savings right there. And the lines went out, and, you know, if they're not going to re-sign Reef for that much, they got pretty much the next best option outside of a potential draft pick, and I don't think anyone really wanted to see the Lions go out and draft a guy in this draft, because it's not a really good class this year.
Absolutely. I find it interesting just how they've kind of rejiggered this whole thing. So, I mean, the Ricky Wagner thing was...
Rick.
When we get to customs, I'm going to need you to take these seeds into the bathroom, and I'm going to need you to put them way up inside your butthole, Morty.
In my butt?
Put them way up inside there as far as they can fit.
Oh, geez, Rick. I really don't want to have to do that.
Well, somebody's got to do it, Morty.
That was off the bat from free agency and kind of came out of nowhere. But, I mean, I kind of expected that because, I mean, we were expecting, I think, I know you, Jeremy, actually, this is probably where I want to go with this. You were saying in your four-point plan you wanted to see the Lions re-sign Riley Reiff.
Yep.
And instead they gave Rick Wagner about a 5-year deal worth about north of $9 million per year. And let's talk about this, because you were pretty big up on Riley Reiff, but you think this is probably a better move than retaining Reiff right now. And what did the Lions get with Wagner that they wouldn't with Reiff? You know, just give me all the deets. What were you seeing?
Well, I mean, I think I underestimated just how desperate other teams were out there, especially the Vikings, who spent a boatload of money on two, I think, average tackles. And that might even be being nice to Remmings over there, who signed. I'm sure the Lions got the message clear that Reef was going to get left tackle money, and that's exactly what he got. So the Lions made sure they had a contingency plan right in place, and they made sure before even free agency opened that they got Wagner locked in, and that was absolutely the right move. I know there are probably going to be people that are stuck up on his high contract at $9.5 million per year, but they have a bunch of savings on the left side of their line right now because everyone else is on a rookie contract. Now we just kind of have to wait for the TJ Lang numbers to come in, because right now all we know is it's a 3-year deal. Estimates were probably around $8 to $10 million per year. That signing, to me, I'm still trying to wrap my head around, because I don't know. I mean, I'm excited that the Lions upgraded over Warford, but I'm just not entirely sure if I think that's the right way they should be spending their cap right now.
Well, let's talk about that, because that's the news that just kind of broke, the Ricky Wagner thing. Rick, I'm going to be doing this a lot. The Rick Wagner thing we've had kind of sitting on our plate since Thursday. TJ Lang is just coming down the pipe here on Sunday as we are recording. The Lions had been in talks with him. He had visited Seattle as well. You know, I think, was Green Bay making a pitch to him again to come back? I think.
Well, early Sunday morning, we put something out. You know, Brad Golly from Channel 7 had reported that, you know, Lang had narrowed his options down to Seattle, Green Bay, and Detroit.
Right, yeah.
And then less than an hour after that, TJ Lang signed.
Yeah, that's how fast this moves in this time of the season. So, I mean, we are just now sitting here like hours after the signing trying to figure out what just happened with TJ Lang. But, I mean,
here's my major concern with signing. I'm ecstatic that the Lions have a great offensive line on paper at this point. But you have to make concessions in free agency. You have to make concessions with building a roster. And I was willing to make the concession of having either Tomlinson or even Joe Dahl start at right guard, considering the massive needs that this team has on defense. And we'll talk a little bit later, you know, why that is. There was a particularly big move that happened on Thursday. I just don't know if this is a good allocation of money. It seems a little strange to me. I'm still kind of in the giddy phase, but I'm kind of starting to come down and realizing, like, boy, this team needs some help on defense, and they probably could have used the $8 to $10 million they just spent on TJ Lang this year to do that.
I think one thing that the free agency hauls that Quinn has pulled in has definitely made it clear that I don't see the Lions going offensive in the first three rounds of the draft.
Yeah.
I think they definitely have so many needs that they have to address on defense. I totally agree with you. I mean, would it have been great to sign, you know, Dont'a Hightower instead of TJ Lang? Probably. There's a huge need at linebacker. We'll get into that a little bit later, but I'm really happy that they made the TJ Lang signing, though, because it's 3 years. I mean, we're a little bit unsure as of right now what the money is, but does this signing with the Rick Wagner signing, is this a pitch to Stafford?
I've seen that thrown around a little bit. It's an interesting theory. I mean, do you really need to convince Stafford to stay at this point? Like, you just throw a bunch of money at him and call it a day. I just think we've been talking about this a lot in the offseason because Bob Quinn has spoken twice publicly and spoken about fixing the run game. And both times he's mentioned this isn't just about adding a running back. This is about building a blocking team, whether that means tight ends. And they brought in a blocking tight end who we'll probably talk about a little bit later, about bringing in a full offensive line and even blocking wide receivers. And surprisingly, he mentioned fullback, even though he doesn't seem to like using one. But this, to me, is more of an attack on the running game. And I know both TJ Lang and Rick Wagner are a little bit better at pass blocking, but they're also pretty well-rounded guys. So I think, if anything, this is an attack on making the team a balanced offense again.
I think they're a lot a bit better at pass blocking, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like, according to PFF, I mean, Wagner graded out 46 among tackles when it comes to run blocking, and Lang graded out 28th among guards when it came to run blocking. I mean, I ostensibly, I think that Warford is a better run blocking guard than Lang, but I mean, it's almost night and day when it comes to pass blocking. I mean, we've seen Warford get torched. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that I think that there's something to the theory where it's like, look, you know, we're putting this pass blocking heavy offense in front of Stafford. The Lions clearly love to pass the ball. Stafford is one of their biggest strengths. So let's keep him upright and give him even more time than he had. I mean, he's shown the ability to be mobile too. So, I mean, all these awesome plays you've seen from Aaron Rodgers being able to extend the play. I mean, how does that not get you giddy thinking about what Matthew Stafford will be able to pull off next season?
I don't think we should be expecting anything like that necessarily, but I do agree.
Why not?
Stafford's not as athletic as he is. I'm sorry. He's not.
Yeah. Tell that to Parrish Cox.
But you do have a point in that. Like, I don't think the identity of this offense is going to change. I don't think suddenly they're going to be, you know, a team that does both running and passing equally. They're obviously still going to be a passing team. But I mean, you look to like the 2011 team, and the Lions didn't have a lot of rushing yards that year, but they ran for like 4.2, 4.3 a carry. That's, I think, what the Lions,
right where they want to be.
Yeah, I think that's what they're looking for at this point, and maybe Lang isn't an upgrade in terms of run blocking to Warford, but I think it's about an even cut there. And I think we can all agree that Wagner is an upgrade pretty much everywhere in terms of Reef. Not that Reef was a bad player, but Wagner's a pretty rare guy that you find on free agency. So I'm excited about all that.
Reef was also out of position playing at right tackle as well.
I mean, I don't know. Kind of the I thought he adjusted. I mean, okay. It was an adjustment for him last year.
Sure.
I don't think he deserves left tackle money. But the Vikings are desperate, and
well, that's why I want to bring up, because this is all in the shadow of, we can talk about how much money he gave to Rick Wagner, how much money TJ Lang is expected to make. I just want to give the money for the guys the Lions gave up on Riley Reiff and Larry Warford. Reiff got 5 years, about $58 million from the Vikings. I forget how much that is guaranteed. Warford, I'm seeing here, 4 years, $34 million. So, I mean, you know, we can talk about how much money Rick's getting, but at the same time, like, this is some pretty eye-popping and long-term numbers that Warford and Reef got elsewhere as well, and the Lions kind of dodged a lot of that.
No, I think that these were both incredible signings by Bob Quinn. I don't know how you can paint this any other way, because he upgraded at right tackle. I think we can definitely agree that Rick Wagner is going to be a better right tackle than Riley Reef. And he got TJ Lang instead of Warford. And he's getting both of these guys for cheaper than he would have had to spend on Reef and Warford.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if this is like the grass is greener on the other side kind of too. I mean, obviously, we've seen what Reef can do. We've seen what Warford can do. But this is the thing too. He got younger with Wagner. Obviously, TJ Lang is older than Warford, but he's only coming on a 3-year deal. And you have other guys behind him. You can now, instead of having to throw Joe Dahl in the fire, you can continue to develop him. You can continue to develop Graham Glasgow, even though he's going to be starting. I mean, we can get into the depth about guards a little bit later, but I'm just saying that I think that having TJ Lang on a 3-year deal, having him back here, first of all, he made his first Pro Bowl last year. I mean, he has been a very consistent guard in the NFL, and I think that it's just going to be a huge upgrade. And you're spending less money. And I totally agree, though, Jeremy. I mean, they could have allocated the resources differently by, you know, making a big splash on defense, because this team clearly needs help on defense. But it seems like Quinn has a plan of attack. Like, I'm not going to rush to judgment.
All right. I guess the other question, and what makes it interesting for me for TJ Lang is, what does this, because I thought the Lions before this would be okay to roll with Laken Tomlinson at the other guard position. You know, it looks like Graham Glasgow's won himself a starter job on the left side. Laken Tomlinson would be the right guard. Lang, though, kind of puts Tomlinson's future into question. Like, what do you make of it right now, Jeremy?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's kind of the whole reason why I was surprised the Lions went so aggressively for TJ Lang, is that they had Laken Tomlinson. And granted, Tomlinson has not had a good first 2 years in his...
He's also not one of Quinn's draft picks.
Yeah.
Like that's a very big thing.
And I think that this tells you everything you need to know about what Bob Quinn thinks about Laken Tomlinson. I think he clearly doesn't see him as part of the future. Now the question is, do you keep him as depth? Because he's really cheap right now. He's still on that rookie contract. Or do you put him on the trading block? And God knows what his value is at this point. But to me, I think the longer you hold on to this guy, even though it's not costing you much, the lower his value goes. So I wouldn't mind trading him. I know having that sort of depth also has value on your team. I mean, obviously, if you have a first-round talent still on your team at a low cost, that's not a bad situation to be in. But I don't know. If you're spending this much on TJ Lang, you kind of have to ride or die with him. So, I don't know, try to get a fourth, fifth-round pick out of Tomlinson. I wouldn't be mad about that. Mm-hmm.
I would be insanely upset if they settled on like a fourth or fifth round pick for Tomlinson.
Why is that?
I would be incredibly upset because, I mean, I don't think you need to look past what happened with the Dallas Cowboys last year. Like, they had a surplus of offensive line talent. They had Lyle Collins, they had Ronald Leary at left guard. I think in the third game of the Cowboys season when they played the Bears, Lyle Collins tears a ligament in his right big toe and he's on injured reserve. So now all of a sudden they could replace him though with a Pro Bowl guy in Ronald Leary. So I think having depth at guard is incredibly important. And I think getting rid of somebody like Laken Tomlinson, if you trade him away, like his value to me, like you start the discussion at like maybe like an early third round pick. Because I would not settle for anything less than that, because having that depth at guard, having that depth along the offensive line is incredibly important. Look what happened when Reef went out for the Lions last year. I mean, those last few games when Swanson went out. All that shuffling along the offensive line, you can argue that that's probably the reason why the Lions didn't fare so well down the stretch. And they lost the division. I mean, yes, make of it what you will that Stafford got hurt. But I think if you start trading away depth and you're not retaining, I think this move was as much about getting TJ Lang as it was allowing the guys below him to continue to develop, and you have a guy who you can call on in Laken Tomlinson who can at least fill in a pinch.
Yeah, he's familiar with the system too.
Like, right? I'm not immediately going to trust Joe Dahl, and I know I'm changing my my opinion on Joe Dahl a little bit here because I wasn't expecting to get TJ Lang, but I'm not ready to throw Joe Dahl in and let him start playing. I would rather have Lincoln Tomlinson come in.
You need that other guard anyway for the depth if in case Glasgow gets hurt. You need both Dahl and Tomlinson for the depth right now.
But right now this team has six guards signed. So the other guys we're not talking about, Brandon Thomas, who they traded for when they traded Jeremy Curl away, and Matt Rotherham, who's probably just a camp body at this point. But that's a surplus of talent. Like, that's too many people at that position.
Bear in mind, too, like, Glasgow has to move to center if Swanson gets hurt. So, that's like, true. We could have that same domino position problem again with center left guard.
Depth is really important. And, I mean, Thomas, you can cut him. You can cut the other guy that you just mentioned that I didn't even realize was on the team.
Yeah, I'm still going to take Tomlinson over those guys, right? Yeah.
Like, sure, but you can't trade any of those other guys away for anything significant.
But who's going to knock on your door for Tomlinson, though?
I totally get what Jeremy's saying. Like, I mean, but this is the thing. We have no idea what his value could be. And like Jeremy said, you have no idea what his value is on the open market if a team wants him. He is cheap. There's a lot of things that are going for him. I mean, the Lions are probably pretty cap-strapped after they sign TJ Lang, right? I mean, they're going to have money left to sign their draft picks.
And that's what I'm saying. They've allocated all this money to the offensive line, to the offense, period. Now they have the surplus of talent at guard. They have no money to spend, so get a draft pick. I mean, at least shop him around, right?
No, I have no problems with shopping him, but I'm saying that the discussion starts with an early third-round pick. Because you need to get somebody back who's going to be an instant contributor on defense, I think.
Yes, yeah.
Like, you need somebody who is going to immediately come in and take at least, like, 50 to 60% of snaps. Like, because there's no doubt that the Lions need help on defense. And I totally agree. They've invested a ton of resources in their offensive line. I think that it's the right move. And, you know, figure out what you can get for Tomlinson. But, I mean, I've just seen things in the past. Like, I think that the end of the 2016 season for the Lions was clearly something that Bob Quinn said that he needed to address. And it was the offensive line and the lack of depth. And he fixed that, I think, totally with this free agency.
Well, let's leave it right there. We got a lot more on free agency to cover. Again, we're going really hardcore in the free agency on this POD cast. So we're going to take a quick break, come back, talk about some more of the signings and more of the Say the Lions. So stick around. Pride of Detroit podcast, PODcast, rolls along. Let's talk about more free agents. All of these agents, they're very free, very liberated, just free balling here.
Well, they're not free anymore.
Not free anymore. We have put those balls up in some very tight pants. Finally did it. First recording we lost, I had people like just trying to hold back the last. I finally got Jeremy and Ryan to break down, so I feel good again. All right, defensive side of the ball now. We've talked enough about the two linemen that the Lions have signed. Let's talk about, because that's a small offer. Like, big as those things are, like, the offensive line fixing seems to be priority number one, but there's been a lot of other signings here. Let's start, we've got a couple actually more offensive signings. You want to start there, or do you want to start with the defense, Jeremy?
Let's move to defense for now, sure. That's what you promised the viewers.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out, because I just realized we had a tight end, a wide receiver on here. But let's start with Akeem Spence and Cornelius Washington. They were both signed around the same time. Spence got 3 years, $10.5 million. Washington got 2 years, $6 million. Defensive end in Washington, defensive tackle in Spence. Some decent signings along the defensive line. We've talked about it before in our preview, in our positional review podcast. The defensive line was a very big disaster last year. Very disappointing. What do these signings mean for the Lions?
Ryan, you did a little bit of digging on Cornelius Washington. He's kind of the guy that intrigues me the most. Can you talk a little bit about him?
Sure, yeah. I mean, Cornelius comes over from another NFC North Division rival. He comes over from Chicago. I believe he got 2 years, $6 million. He's an interesting case, and I think what he essentially becomes is an Armani Bryant replacement. I know, I think talking maybe back at the beginning of free agency, I'm not sure if we did it here or if it was just in Slack, those two mediums kind of bleed my mind, but we talked about how Armani Bryant is a guy who definitely had a role on the team and he was valuable, and I think that Cornelius Washington kind of just replaces him. He's really just like a straight line pass rusher. He's kind of always played out of position. I think originally, you know, I did some digging and I found out that when Georgia, remind me of who Georgia's football coach was before he got canned.
That would have been Mark Richt, same coach who was for Matt Stafford. Yeah.
Yes. So when, so originally, you know, Cornwash, as he's been affectionately referred to as, was brought on to Georgia. They ran a 4-3 with the new coaching regime, though, after he had already committed. They switched over to a 3-4. That really didn't fit his play style. The Bears drafted him with the idea of playing him as a 4-3 defensive end. And then when John Fox came in, they went back to a 3-4. So he's been playing out of position for most of his collegiate and professional football career. He was a guy who wasn't even going to be drafted. He was on the fringe of being drafted and then at the combine. He is a huge man, just a huge mountain of mass. And he ran a 4.5540, which was which was bewildering. He put up 36 reps on the bench. I mean, this guy is just physically so talented. And I think that he's definitely athletic. He's an athletic upgrade over Armani Bryant, and I think that he much better fits the mold of playing defensive end in a 4-3. He's going to be a rotational guy, so he's going to be a guy that maybe you get out on the field for 20-25 snaps and just let him pin his ears back and like try to get after the quarterback. He does too, though, real quick. He has some versatility, so he can play inside because he has some strength. There's actually, on Pride of Detroit, I found a gif of him bowling over Larry Warford last season and getting to Stafford for a sack. So
I was going to say, like, I kind of see him fitting in with a kind of a jumbo package with, like, say, A'shaun Robinson or something. Just something there to just eat mountains of space.
Yeah.
Like, stuff runs, attack, like, just throw the house at a quarterback, that kind of stuff.
He's also had some bad luck more than just, like, scheme fits, too. Like, I mean, I think 2016 was the first season where he was on the field for more than 80 snaps because he lost his entire 2015 season to a ruptured tendon or a ruptured quad tendon that happened in the very first game of the season. So he hasn't really played a whole lot, but last season he had 364 total snaps, 246 of them were pass rushing. So clearly he is that pass rushing threat. He had 29 total pressures though, and that was pretty good. So he did earn a pretty solid pass rushing grade. I think that he's going to be a really good rotational guy. He's going to be good on stunts. He's going to be solid. I think. I think that might be kind of an underrated signing by Quinn.
Yeah, I'm excited by that signing too. And you talk about him more, actually sounds kind of like Kerry Hyder in that he brings the same kind of versatility. He's a good pass rusher, but if the Lions want to stunt him inside or even line him up inside, he could do that too. So I like the signing a lot. This is probably my favorite defensive signing that they've made so far.
There haven't been a whole lot of them to pick from, so, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, what about the other guy, Akeem Spence, or should I move on to the other two that we have on the defensive signing?
Well, let's talk about Spence because this is the opposite end of the spectrum to me because I don't have a lot to go on with Spence because I haven't dug that deep on him, but I know everyone hates just quoting Pro Football Focus, but this was one of the worst defensive tackles in Pro Football Focus last year. And not only did the Lions sign him, they signed him to a 3-year deal. So granted that both his contract and Washington's contract are very incentive loaded. So they need to make the team. They need to make the game day rosters to earn a lot of their money. I just don't get the signing. Doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand why they made it such a high priority. I don't know why they signed him to such a long deal. They must see something that I don't see there.
I think that if you want to try to make sense of it, it's kind of difficult now because it seemed like when they made the signing, because it was so early in free agency. I mean, it was Thursday, right? It was the very first day.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Because this and the Washington signing were almost like back to back. It was difficult running the site, I'm sure, Jeremy. Like, we just wanted the Lions to, like, slow down on signing players. But it seemed like in the moment, like, okay, this guy is a run-stuffing defensive tackle. Clearly, like, that was a role that Gerald McCoy kind of had. Well, actually, he was playing alongside of him, and then he, like, made his way to the bench. But it seemed like this guy was almost going to be, like, a Nata replacement. It seemed like Nata would be cut. They'd save $5 million, and they'd bring in Spence for less money than Nata. And you'd have, you know, a backup run stuffer to kind of sit behind and get some snaps behind A'shaun Robinson. But he clearly, like you said, I mean, he hasn't really proven himself. Like I just mentioned, he was, you know, sent to the bench, but he's not a pass rushing defensive tackle. He's a run stuffer. He's supposed to just get in there and, you know, hold his ground and make sure that guys don't run by him. But this is a little bit of a head scratcher. I'm clearly not as high on the signing as I am on Washington.
All right, let's talk about the other guys they signed. Let's start with cornerback DJ Hayden, who signed over the weekend, 1 year, $5.5 million.
This is a risky pick. I mean, this is a guy who's been dealing with a lot of injuries, but he is a former first round pick, a number 12 overall pick in the 2013 draft. I don't know. I mean, this is kind of a low risk, high reward kind of signing. The fact that he's on a $5.25 million contract is a little misleading. I think his cap hit is going to be more around 3.75, which is still significant, but it's not one that you're going to really hate yourself for down the line, especially it's only a one-year deal. This is a guy who both has flexibility in the slot and on the outside, so he could take over for Quandre Diggs. He could push Nevin Lawson for that number two job. It's, like I said, low risk, high reward. It doesn't move the needle either way for me that much, but it's one that could pay off big if Hayden, you know, suddenly gets healthy and shows his full potential.
It's a deal that's heavily laden with incentives. Officially it ends up being a 1 year $3.75 million deal, but he can make up to an additional $1.5 million based on incentives for interceptions and playing time. And that's been the biggest thing with him too, right? Is playing time. He gets paid an additional $31,250 for every game he's on the actual game day active roster. So this is clearly a move by Quinn where it's like, I mean, this guy was drafted so high. He clearly is athletically talented, and he was for once thought to be, a premier cornerback. Why not take a chance on him? Because it's pretty clear that the Lions didn't have a lot of depth, especially at nickel corner, you know, behind Quandre Diggs. And I think that's where he'll probably, I think that's probably where he'll be best suited to play. If you look at his numbers, going back to when he played for, Oakland, he put up some pretty like gaudy, like tackle numbers, when he was on the field, actually. In 2015, the year that he actually played a full 16 games and started 13, he had 64 tackles. That's kind of a lot for a cornerback. He even had a sack, 8 pass deflections, and an interception. So I think he's going to be better suited to play that role because he seems like he's a better tackler, and you need a good tackling cornerback to play that slot position.
Do you think this eliminates their need for a cornerback in the draft?
No, I don't think so. Do you?
I certainly think it lessens it. Like, I think that the Lions could go without drafting one. I think a lot of people thought cornerback was maybe a top three need. I think at this point, it's probably not even a top five need. The Lions can go into training camp with what they've got and be okay. But I think the way Bob Quinn treats the draft is like he wants to get to that point where they could be okay with just about every position going into the draft. But could also use the improvement, kind of giving them the option to go best player available. So at this point, I think that's what they should do in terms of secondary. At least they're good at where they need to be, but if the opportunity arises in the draft to upgrade, do it.
Well, I want to challenge you eventually on that making sure every position is okay thing, but we have not reached that segment of our podcast yet. But let's talk about the last couple of signings we have here. Linebacker Paul Warlow agreed to a one-year deal. That is the last... let's put that one for aside for a second, because we're going to come back around to the linebacker position in the next segment. But let's talk about... Let's see here. The other two we have here, Keyshawn Martin, signed to the Lions, no details yet. And tight end Darren Fells, 1 year, $1.5 million. Keyshawn Martin, I'm not too interested in that signing. That's kind of a depth signing, if anything, that probably takes the place of, like, say, Andre Roberts or TJ Jones. Darren Fells, though, like, finally, this is a tight end below, along with Ebron.
Well, first, I mean, just to quickly touch on Keyshawn Martin, I agree, Chris. He's probably going to be somebody who just comes to camp to fill that special teams role, because that's basically what he's been playing his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
He's made a career out of being a punt return and kick return specialist, so he will come to camp, and I think
he'll get a role on this team. Well, he'll be on the 55.
Sure, I mean, you think so?
Yeah.
Keyshawn Martin?
Think so. Over a guy like Jones or Roberts?
Roberts played pretty well last year, and he actually has some receiving chops.
Okay, but Roberts remains unsigned at this point. They did bring back TJ Lang. They offered at least TJ Lang his tender. TJ Jones. Yeah. But I mean, we have to talk about our favorite guy, right? Jace Billingsley. He deserves to be in this conversation too.
Oh God, I forgot about
definitely.
Him.
Depending on the Bolden thing, I don't know if you want to keep somebody like Jace Billingsley and Keyshawn Martin, because I feel like they'd probably fill a similar role, and they're pretty high on Jace Billingsley. So
I mean, we saw last year there was a pretty intense competition for the punt return job. There was Andre Roberts, there was Andre Caldwell, there was, you know, Golden Tate, TJ Jones, Jace Billingsley. I think we're building to that point again this year. I wouldn't be surprised if they even signed another guy that kind of had that talent skill set, and I don't think at this point we can put anyone as a lock to win that job.
This is Quinn's MO though, right? I mean, like, yeah. let's assemble a bunch of guys who can play, you know, special teams, who have that ability to kind of like moonlight, as you know, if you're not going to contribute every day, let's get somebody in there who can, you know, make a difference on special teams. So but Darren Fells, like, I'm really geeked about the signing. He fills the role that Detroit needed. He's going to be that second tight end on the depth chart, but I think he's going to get a ton of snaps. He played 371 snaps last year in Arizona. I could see him playing even more this year in Detroit. I mean, what do you think about the Darren Fells signing?
Yeah, I'm a fan. I mean, they finally got their cheaper Pettigrew option, right? This is a guy that, you know, fairly well-rounded. He's definitely better at blocking. I think PFF had him as the number three pass-blocking tight end. This is an exciting signing, and you get him at a one-year, $1.5 million deal. You can't really get better value than that. But it also fills a humongous need, because this team doesn't have any tight ends that have any sort of experience. And granted that Darren Fells is a 30-year-old with only 3 years of experience, because he played basketball for his first, you know, 6 years out of college. To me, that's an exciting signing for the value you got, and just about as good as you could hope for, given that the Lions have so many other needs and decided to spend so much money on their offensive line, that to get a guy like that at $1.5 million, definitely a fan of.
I mean, he's 6'7", 280 pounds.
Yeah.
The very big dude. Very big guy. Very big man. I think Kyle Meinke ran with something that said his first basketball game he played, because he played professionally overseas, that he fouled out of his first game, and all of the fouls were offensive fouls.
Yeah.
So this is a guy who really likes to be aggressive, and clearly he would fit the role of being a pass blocker, or just a blocking tight end in general. So yeah, I mean, a guy that's 6'7", too, like, how could he not be a red zone threat?
Right, and I'm just excited that we no longer have to see, like, Cornelius Lucas or Corey Robinson out there as a sixth offensive lineman when we get desperate in, like, third and short situations. We can actually have a tight end out there.
RIP to the three tackle sets. I'm super excited to finally, we should make a grave, and we should have a very somber moment for three tackle alignments.
You guys want to leave that part there? You want to come back here on the next segment to talk about the linebackers?
Yeah, we have to say RIP to someone else.
We have to say RIP to a few people. We've already said RIP to Riley Reiff and Larry Warford, but there was one more release and a very big question, which is on a lot of the Lions fans' lips out there, and if it's not, it should be. And that question is simply, what the hell are the Lions doing at linebacker? What are they doing? So we'll talk about that next. All right, continuing along here on the Pride of Detroit podcast. Lions look to be in pretty decent shape in many positions right now. Okay shape, as we said last segment. Nothing spectacular at certain points, but enough that they are flexible entering the 2017 draft, except for linebackers. We knew it was a problem last year, and the Lions, for some ungodly reason, decided to make it worse by releasing DeAndre Levy, seemingly out of the blue. Bob Quinn had been saying in interviews leading up to this that DeAndre Levy was, you know, part of the team's plans, that I believe we saw that quote from several other people as well. Levy thought he was going to continue to be with the team in 2017, and then bam, right there, first day, free agency, Levy is released. Jeremy, your fucking jersey curse.
So where do you want to start?
Yes, I want to start here. Jeremy, you've done this to yourself. You've done this to all of us now.
I don't know what to say, man. This news hit me hard. I know.
This hit us all hard.
What hit me the hardest, though, is, I mean, this is a guy who I defended to the end of the earth last year. This is a guy who, I mean, I fully admitted I didn't think he was ever going to come back and be the guy kind of guy who we saw
in
2014.
Just like a couple weeks ago when we were doing linebackers, we said just that. We didn't think he would be back, but like the state of the linebackers necessitated his presence because what the fuck else are the Lions going to do at linebacker?
Yeah, and I mean, it's just tough because to me, no secret, he was my favorite player on the team. He was a really, really good guy, and I more than anything wanted to see him resurrect his career after the beating that he took from Lions fans last year, and then everyone backed off once they learned that he had, you know, an actual serious injury. And so I was so excited to see him return this year and even get a little playing time last year, and just, I was ready to see him make something of nothing, and I'll say that I was completely wrong and that I thought there was no chance of him being cut. I wasn't honestly that familiar with the June 1st cut designation. I had never seen it happen firsthand, so
yeah, we're going to talk about the June 1st thing here in a little bit too. Right. Yeah.
So I mean. I hadn't really even played with that thought because it seems it's a little weird to me, right? Like you're not even clearing up cap space for free agency essentially because you're not getting that relief until June. So I was completely floored by this, and it hurts because, like you said, this is making a worse position, a bad position, even worse. And then you're getting rid of a fan favorite for a lot of people, including myself. So I'm still kind of mourning this, and it's rough, but, you know, you look at the financial things, I would never argue that the Lions were paying Levy what he's worth at this point in his career. They were certainly overpaying him, and they're going to get that cap space probably to sign Matthew Stafford, but it hurts. I'm like, I can't pull my fandom away from this. I can't say, like, well, this was a good business decision. Pat on the back, Bob Quinn, because, you know, football's emotional. Like, it's supposed to be a fun, emotional sport, and they just got rid of my favorite player, so this sucks.
That is Jeremy's analysis. Do you agree with the analysis that this sucks, Ryan Matthews?
I mean, it sucks, like, beyond football to me, and I know, like, everything, like, Bob Quinn is in charge of making the football team better, but it sucks for a guy who, I think, has a website. Almost universally, we all kind of defended And we defended in a way that a lot of people thought was too overt, but this guy does so much good stuff, like beyond just the football field, that he's an awesome human being. So, I mean, I really hope he lands somewhere, and I hope that he has a fruitful rest of his football career. Or, you know what? He's a guy who's been such a huge proponent of raising awareness due to head traumas caused in football. If he wants to retire and he made his money, more power to him. Like, whatever he chooses to do, I'm sure that DeAndre Levy is going to do just well for himself in the second phase of his career, or in the second phase of his life. But talking about the football player DeAndre Levy, he hasn't been the same player over the past couple of years because of, like, the injuries we've talked about. I was super excited about seeing him maybe come back without having to rehab for an entire offseason and having a chance for him to just, you know, get strong and get ready for the next season. So it's a bummer. I mean, I'm probably not as torn up about it as Jeremy, because he decided to buy his jersey and curse him. But it sucks.
So you do agree. You do agree. It sucks.
Yeah. I mean, this sucks for me too. Like, I'm not going to talk about how overtly we defended. I just thought it was always stupid people coming out here saying, well, he doesn't really care about football anymore. Because that is just a objectively idiotic thing to say about anyone who plays in the NFL. Like, that's what I took umbrage with. Like, we could talk all day, as we said on the linebacker review. It's absolutely fair to ask, is he going to be the same player as he was in 2014 after all these injuries? And I think Jeremy had a point when we did those previews. It's like, look, he's going to have a full offseason to come back. And where it sucks for me is, like, he was going to have a full offseason to finally come back. And now he's not. And I don't know, maybe the Lions saw something in the medical reports that's saying he was going to have this again, or it was very likely he wasn't going to get that full off season. But, like, I don't know, he became a lightning rod for so much dumb shit we do in sports. But at the same time, too, he was he was electric in 2014. And those memories, I mean, we know how to cling to those memories pretty well in Detroit Lions land. Right? Like, we will find that wide receiver that we cling to that just, you know, just fell off the table, or like Javid Best, who I loved Javid Best, and he had all those concussions, and, you know, it just those kind of things where you see guys' careers just get cut short, and it's like, man, it just that's awful. Like, and I feel that about it. But at the same time, too, objectively, even if you were down on Levy, you cannot tell me the Lions right now are better at linebacker without Levy and with $5 million after June 1st.
No, they got worse. Like, that's pretty clear, right?
yeah, I mean,
this is bad.
The one thing that you kind of mentioned, maybe they know something with a doctor's report that I think is important to point out. And credit to Mike Rothstein of ESPN, had a really interesting article. He talked to Levy right after he was cut. Levy said when he came back last year, he was not even close to health. When he was playing last year, after, you know, the surgery and all that, he was not close to being healthy. So, you know, maybe he still does have a long ways to get to 100%. Maybe it'll take the entire offseason. Maybe it'll take longer. I think that's what you're looking at if you're trying to find a reason why the Lions let go Levy. Because I'm already starting to see some people picking up maybe he just doesn't care again. You know, torch.
Come on, Jesus, like, Christ.
Maybe the Lions realize, you know, he doesn't want to play anymore. And, you
that's
know,
not how this
he's
business
going to retire.
Works. That's
and,
not how anything works.
And you just, like, I understand Levy is capable of lying, but at this point in his career, there is no point in him lying. If he intends on retiring, he would have said it by now. He said specifically to Rothstein, he is looking forward to getting back on that field. You need to just let go of this. Levy was let go because the Lions think he's not going to ever become close to where he was. Period. End of sentence. That's
well,
it.
Yeah. Well, let's take it from here, like, because, like, where does the Lions go from here? Okay, free agency. They signed Paul Warlow to a one-year deal. That's not the answer. And what, like, Paul Warlow is a fine player. He was, he, I don't know if he's going to be a starter, though. But no. Granted, I mean, okay, the Lions, a lot of times, they only have two linebackers out there. But don't you think sometimes it's almost out of necessity because of just how bad this unit is?
Well, here's the thing, too, is Paul Warlow plays middle linebacker, right?
Right, yeah. Okay. Not weak side like Levy did.
Right, so if he plays middle linebacker, that's Tyre Whitehead's position, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the position he played last season. So now you have your two best linebackers that are on the roster right now are Tyre Whitehead and Paul Warlow. And they play the same position.
Yep.
And it's widely considered that Warlow is not a starter. He's a depth guy who fits the Quinn MO profile of being a really good special teams contributor. So that's awesome. They signed him to a 1-year deal. That's all fine and good. But we were talking about on the podcast last week how Whitehead could easily be usurped. Like he could be a guy who you could replace. You have not replaced him with Paul Warlow. So you're still stuck at square one.
Minus Levy. You've gone back from square one.
I mean, hold on. I was just talking about middle linebacker. But yes, if you're talking about linebacker as a whole, the Lions have taken a definite step back. And you can argue that they maybe even took another step back by signing TJ Lang and not investing those resources and going out and getting another linebacker. Now, there are still linebackers that are available. We can get to it. But, I mean, I want to get Jeremy's opinion of what he thinks about Paul Warlow, too.
I mean, he's an interesting guy in that he has starting experience. He came into the league as a huge surprise undrafted guy, immediately gets 12 starts, I think, in his rookie year, then gets another 16 the next year, and then the Falcons find out, oh, wait, this guy kind of sucks. Let's just make him a special teams guy. Let's just, you know, have him as a rotational guy if someone gets injured. And essentially, that's the role I think he's going to play with the Lions, is just kind of going to be, you know, the Bob Quinn special, some guy who can be a backup, provide depth, but will mostly just be a special teams guy.
So I think the thing, too, about Warlow is that, I mean, try to, you know, revert back your frame of reference to Thursday when he was signed. When he signed the same day as Rick Wagner, so Lions fans can, you know, thinking ahead to the draft, well, we can take tackle off the board at, you know, 21. The Warlow signing did not take linebacker off the board at 21. Like, I just want to make it abundantly clear that, like, he is a depth guy. He is best served on special teams. The Lions had a problem putting bodies out on the field at linebacker. That's why they had to take Brandon Copeland from defensive end and move him back to linebacker. The Thurston Armbrister experience. I don't know why I'm saying his name again on this podcast. But, I mean, this is a body. And a reliable body who can at least step in and be a body. He is Paul the Body Warlow.
Like, yeah, so I guess that's my question. Like, at this state, unless they get someone to replace Levy, you have to take a linebacker first thing in this draft, right?
It's definitely the biggest team need right now, and I would be shocked if they don't add another body in free agency, to be honest.
They can't really get Dante Hightower now, can they?
No, they're not going to get Dante Hightower. He's way too expensive at this point. I think the Lions probably have around $5 million in cap space at this point, assuming that TJ Lang's getting paid. So, I mean, there are still guys out there. There are some guys that... I was talking about Kevin Minter earlier in the day. He played inside linebacker with the Cardinals. They're a 3-4, but... As it's a little bit easier for an inside linebacker to make the transition to middle linebacker to a 4-3. There's some other guys out there too that you can probably get for like $3-4 million a year.
I mean, what about Perry Riley from Oakland? I mean, he's 31. He's a little bit older, longer in the tooth, but like he's a guy who might come on like a cheaper deal.
Yeah, and I would be shocked to not see the Lions at least pick up one of those guys to do like I had said before. Like they just want to get to a point where they could field a team out there if they have to, if a guy that they want doesn't fall to them at the draft. Because, listen, they can't put all their eggs in the Hassan Reddick, you know, bag right now. They just can't. You just can't approach the draft like that, where you have to get a guy. Because you just never know if it's going to work out that way.
Well, you also don't want to throw a rookie into immediately a starting role with as much responsibility like that, I think, either. Like, yeah. Not only, I mean, obviously a rookie can become a starter immediately, but you don't want him to be the only option you have.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I agree.
I think if you get too tied up in one guy in the draft, suddenly you'll be willing to do anything to get him. And I don't think anyone wants to see the Lions trade up to get Hassan Reddick in this draft.
They can't.
Just to be safe.
They can't.
They have too many needs, right? They need to use all 8 of those draft picks.
On defense.
All on defense.
Seriously. I know we're talking a lot about running backs, looking at running backs in the draft, but like the defense is just, it is a warning light going off. Congratulations, you fixed the offensive line. The defense, though, like, oh God, oh God. Like, and that's why, again, why I was shocked about the Levy thing. Now, can we talk a little bit about that June 1st designation? Because that's what I find the most interesting about this, too. It's not like they cut Levy to save any money that they're going to be able to use like this year. And obviously, we need to talk soon about the Matt Stafford extension, re-signing, whatever you want to call it. But, I mean, that probably factors into that a little bit. But, I mean, this is what felt weird to me, because it's like you're cutting him, but you're not actually saving anything to use in this free agency period.
Well, I mean, if they were making the decision to cut Levy at no matter what, obviously you choose the June 1st designation because you're only saving $1.1 million if you don't.
Right.
So saving $5 million, almost $6 million, I think. I mean, that's a significant amount of cap space, and to me it shows that, like, yeah, the Lions are lining themselves up to extend Stafford, maybe even line up a deal for Ebron, who knows. But
I kind of had a mini rant corner about the rage corner about the Stafford thing. Do you want to do that here, or should we save it for a later part?
I don't know. If it's bubbling, man, you go for it.
I'll save it. We'll tease that for next time. I'm sorry, I've been interrupting you. Please continue.
I don't really have anything else to say about the situation. I mean, from a financial standpoint, the Lions certainly need money now because they just spent a crap load on their offensive line. So if that's the way that they feel like they got to do it, then I guess that's the way they got to do it. A lot of people have talked about, you know, they wanted to go after a big defensive guy, kind of like Bob Quinn hinted at he might do, and a lot of people pointed to cutting Haloti Ngata as an option, because that'll get you $3-4 million right away. But that clearly doesn't appear to be in the cards for the Lions this free agency. So, I guess it's the right move with Levy. It's hard for me to say that, but it's a financial decision, and that's how the business works, I suppose.
Ryan, any final thoughts?
Go Lions.
Levy, just don't sign with the Packers. Just don't sign with the Packers. I will
die.
Or
the Patriots. Or the Patriots.
No, sign with the Patriots. I don't care. Sign with the Patriots. Have a fun time.
I don't
want
to do this shit again.
I don't care. I don't care. Just don't go to a team that's going to hurt me.
All right, so we're kind of coming up against on this podcast, and we still want to talk about some more stuff. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to take a break here. We are not coming back with mailbag. Instead, we're going to keep taking questions up until, I believe, Tuesday night or Wednesday night or so. We'll let you know. We're going to put out a midweek mailbag-only episode with, like, myself and maybe, like, Ryan or Jeremy or whoever we get around for the mailbag itself. But it's not going to be part of this podcast. But it will come out this week. We'll have its own thing. But we're going to come back. We need to talk about how free agency has changed our perceptions of the draft. We kind of touched on it a little here. We're going to keep talking about it. We're going to talk about probably what else you might be able to see in this free agency period. And you know what? I'm going to get to it. I'm going to tell you why some of y'all need to chill out about how much Stafford may or may not be making. Because I saw this floating around today, and the other day, and I was very upset. So Rage Corner is coming back.
Can you take a break?
Yelling!
Can you take a break?
I'm yelling at you!
Can you take a break?
Yelling!
Can I get my d*** sucked?
Can you hear me? Yelling!
Can I get my d*** sucked?
Yelling! Yelling!
Are you ready to suck now? Have you got it all out? Mad, ain't you?
Stupid!
Red face!
Listen!
Now you're calling me stupid?
Listen! Yes, I am!
This is kangaroo court!
You know what? You have a constitutional right to be a dumbass!
All right. We're back here on the Pride of Detroit podcast. That music right there. We haven't used Rage Corner since... when it was like middle of the season last time we had a Rage Corner, wasn't it, Ryan?
I think we like purged ourselves of any rages. Like we got to the point where we were winning so many games in a row, we just didn't have anything to be super upset about.
Sure, sure. And when they were losing, I think we were very mad, but we weren't like at the point where we were taking out our rage on something in particular, right?
Right.
So, and I mean, that kind of died along with Wally's World. That was kind of our 1-2 punch. You stopped giving me Wally's stories because you are now terrified of exposing Wally to too much of this, and we are getting criticisms that we are using him too much like Poppy Lebatard, which, I mean, vavanculo, people.
Wally is still alive and kicking, people. He's dormant. He's hibernating for football season.
I don't know. He ain't got any thoughts on March Madness coming up here?
No. He is fair weather to the max. If Michigan makes a tournament run, Wally might make a reappearance.
Okay. Okay. I was going to say, because I'm really looking forward to like some playoff Wally, or maybe some like Tigers Wally or something.
Oh, Tigers Wally will make a return. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't wait for Tigers Wally. Okay.
He likes cats. He likes talking about cats.
The cats. Okay. I can go with that. Let's talk about a little bit about why I am baboon ass red mad today. I've been baboon ass red mad about a few things. I got mad at Boston earlier this week and their crossword at the Boston Globe. And now I'm mad. I've been mad about this for actually a while now, because I know we had this big conversation. I think you were in on it, Jeremy. There was this big conversation floating around about the money Stafford is set up to make. And people very concerned people that if Stafford takes this money, which is going to be in the neighborhood of like $25 million, that the Lions will be handicapped, they'll have their hands tied, they won't be able to do anything about it, you know, they won't be able to like get him anything else to help him around. I'm just, no, settle down, all y'all. Like, I understand the need for you people to come out here and say, take the hometown discount. The hometown discount is an option available to the player. It is not mandatory at all. And people ain't got to give up their salaries just because you think a couple extra million is going to be enough to sign what? Like, that's kind of the thing. Like, it is all because the salary cap is a entity in our sport. We all think this is some kind of zero-sum game that we're playing here. It's like trying to figure out how to make us all fit into a spreadsheet. No, 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 no. That's not how this works. That's not how this works. And if Matt Stafford takes $25 million, that's not going to be a problem. The Lions are going to be able to figure out the rest of the team around that. So stop worrying about that. Don't point to Mike Glennon as saying that's an average, that is a reasonable salary. Don't talk about how Stafford's earned a lot already. These guys don't, like, that's so lacking in how football players operate. And sure, the numbers are gaudy. The numbers are insanely gaudy. But the numbers are also insanely gaudy for the rest of the NFL. And the salary cap is very minimal compared to what this league makes on a day-to-day basis. Holy crap, the billions this league makes, and yet every team has, at max, $167 million this calendar year to spend on players. No more. That's the salary cap. No more. So you want to sit around and talk about how Stafford might be getting too much money? I mean, I don't know, man. In the grand scheme of things, $25 million playing football is way too much money. But then you'd have to indict the entire league on that regard. You'd also have to indict the owners on that regard, because they're making far more. But now we're getting way off center, which is within the structure of the salary cap. Is Stafford going to make too much? Is it going to hamstring the Lions? Settle down.
I mean, the subtext of all this is that the people that are demanding he take a hometown discount are the same people that are like, I'm not sure if he's our guy yet, right? Because that's what they're saying. Like,
well, who was
it? If Stafford is your franchise quarterback, you go and make him the most highest paid quarterback in the league, because that's what you do when they're up for a new contract. With every single franchise quarterback, they become the most expensive one at the time.
Well, we did this last time Stafford had his extension. Like, I remember ESPN people were like, oh, that's too much. That's too much for Stafford. And we've seen how much Stafford's been worth this year in 2016. And sure, maybe in 2017 you want to see him repeat that. But, I mean, just if they pay him this much, it is not like a situation where, like, because we saw this kind of with the Ravens, right? They gave Flacco all that money, but because they had all this other money tied up in other places, they weren't able to do anything. And eventually the Ravens kind of collapsed out. That's not the situation here for the Lions. We already took one big guy off the books, DeAndre Levy. There's no guarantee Ebron's going to be back right now. Like, it could very well be that this is going to be fine for Stafford. It'll be Stafford and Slay, the big names on the book, but you still got plenty of room to work with around it. So don't panic, Detroit. Don't panic if Stafford gets a lot of money. He needs those baseball caps. Paying Stafford and maybe missing out on, like, a positional player because you paid him $5 million more than you probably should have or whatever, that is far less of a risk to take to miss out on that one positional rotational player than, say, starting all over again with a rookie quarterback you have no clue if they're going to be good or not.
So are you taking Deshaun Watson off the table for number 21?
That is how we are starting talking about the draft here. Yes, I am taking Deshaun Watson completely off the table for the Detroit Lions. I wouldn't even want him of these quarterbacks either way, but
we're taking quarterback off the board as a need though at 21.
I don't know. What do you say, Jeremy?
I say, well, now that Levy's gone, we have to fight off the Stafford haters, right? We fought off the Levy haters. Now I guess they won. I don't know if you want to say it that way. Now we
got
to fight off the
Stafford
haters.
Don't say that. Don't give that to them. Don't give that to them.
Libra o morte. I'm not doing this.
Let's talk draft.
Free agency always changes how people think about the draft, and there
it
will
has
be.
To.
I mean, but that's the scheme of the mock draft community, right? Put out all these mock drafts before free agency. Free agency changes everything. Now you get to revise them. Isn't that right, Ryan Matthews?
New mock draft from myself coming this week at Pride of Detroit.
Plug it. Okay, so what has free agency changed for you? That, especially about the first couple of rounds, I think we can safely say the one thing that has been changed before anything else, offensive line is now completely off the board, right?
Unless it's a like a super late round pick, like sixth or seventh round.
I'm talking like day one, early day two.
No,
when I'm talking draft right now.
Okay, yeah, you want to talk day one, day two, early day three? No offensive lineman to be seen.
And it was a weak draft anyways, so, like, the Cam Robinson mock drafts I was never in favor of, and that's certainly not going to happen now.
You weren't a fan of the Ryan Ramczyk mock drafts? Nope. Yeah, I totally agree. So that's completely off the board.
At this point, are all offensive positions off the board in the first at least two rounds?
First two rounds, yes. I think after that, though, like, third, fourth, day two, you maybe see a running back.
Yeah, I mean, like, after free agency, I'm not completely sold on the idea that the Lions should take a running back in the third round, but if somebody like Kareem Hunt is there, trust me, I can't not. But I think if I want to make one thing clear that free agency has changed about my thinking of how the Lions should attack the draft, I definitely think that instead of defensive end, I think the Lions go linebacker in the first round.
They've got to, right?
I think linebacker has taken over a bigger need than defensive end has. They're both, you know, very glaring needs, but I think linebacker has to be who you're targeting at 21.
So who would you say then? Because, like, you're looking outside, right? So it would be like Hassan Reddick or Zach Cunningham.
Any linebacker. Probably. Doesn't matter. Any linebacker.
Doesn't matter. Even an interior guy in college, right?
Reuben Foster, if he falls, that would be incredible. Hassan Reddick. Sure. Zach Cunningham. I mean, I know that some of
Raekwon,
us...
Raekwon McMillan maybe in the second round.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that the Lions have to draft two linebackers.
Really? Two?
I think they do. I mean, yeah. right now you have Tyre Whitehead and you have Paul Warilow.
I mean, I guess I would just... I would more expect, like...
Steve Longa! Steve Longa.
And Antoine Williams. Like, sorry, I don't want to poo-poo on Antoine Williams.
He's interior too, though. Although he was asked to play, Mike or weak side early in 2016.
They needed him to fill in for Whitehead.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So he was playing Mike, but I think like he does play strong side. But yeah, I mean Antoine Williams was a late day two pick last year, so maybe you know. Yeah, I definitely in the first round, I would like to see maybe a defensive end maybe picked up in like, I don't know, maybe the second and then maybe another linebacker in the third.
I mean.
Or a safety in the second. I don't know.
If a defensive end talent falls to 21, like I am not completely opposed to the Lions taking, you know, by some weird miracle Solomon Thomas falls all the way to 21. I'm not gonna take a linebacker instead of Solomon Thomas, but I think it's pretty clear like those are the top two needs on the defense. Defensive end and linebacker.
Well, I mean this is why I was talking about earlier the Lions still have to sign a linebacker in free agency because we're talking about the Lions locking in on one specific position with their first or second round pick. You can't do that. You just can't do that in the draft.
Then you reach, right? You take a linebacker who maybe wouldn't have gone until the second round.
Right. You either reach or you trade up, and no one wants to see the Lions do either one of those things. So at this exact moment, yes, I think the Lions absolutely have linebacker as their top need, and it needs to be addressed in the first two rounds. I don't think it's going to necessarily be that way once draft time comes around.
This is my favorite time of the year. I finally get to say it. What about trading back?
Oh, God. Everyone wants to trade back.
Sure, of course. Or, you know, just trade Lake and Tomlinson and get a first-round pick for him, right?
Perfect. We have, yeah. the Browns have made an awful lot of signings to beef up their offensive line, but I think the 49ers could use another guard. I think they could.
Here's a question. If we know the Vikings will pay up the ass for offensive linemen. Would you take a second round from the Vikings trading them in division?
I mean, that's their earliest pick, though, because they don't have a first round pick.
Right.
So would they really want to be suddenly condemned until the late second round, early third?
They get a first round pick. Lakin Thompson was a first round pick. That's an upgrade.
Oh my God, dude. I think it's more likely to foist him off on John Lynch, okay?
The Vikings can gladly have our sloppy leftovers. Riley Reiff and Lakin Tomlinson, they can have all of our sloppy seconds, and we'll take their second round pick. Perfect.
What about a
second round pick.
What about third?
Yes.
You would trade Lakin for a third to the Vikings.
Hold up, I thought you said you didn't want to trade away Tomlinson for a third.
No, I said it has to be like a high third round pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know where the Vikings draft in the third, but...
I don't either. I don't know if they have a third round pick.
You might not have any picks.
This is, I think, a real possibility, though, because the Seahawks have swung and missed on a lot of offensive linemen. The only one that they really, I think, secured was Luke Jokel, the former Jaguar. And they missed out on Lang, and they missed out on Wagner. They missed out on Reiff if they wanted him. I mean, I don't know how involved they were, but offensive line is clearly a need for them. I mean, I did this in my first mock draft where I moved back from 21 to 26. I think the Seahawks, they're primed to move up because I think they're super desperate to get one of those top guys, either Ramchek or Cam Robinson, maybe Forrest Lamp. I don't know. They need help at the offensive line position. So, I mean, I think there are teams that might be desperate enough to move up. Like you said, Jeremy, I mean, the Vikings would probably pay out the ass to maybe to move up and get an offensive lineman. So
let's do it.
Let's do it. I love that we're already contemplating this stuff. And this is why I like free agency, because the rest of the point up until the draft is going to be this kind of stuff. It's like, hey, maybe the weird shit can happen. Maybe the Browns can try to eat more salary, because apparently they're trying to just... I still can't get over talking about that. We haven't talked at all about what the Browns did.
No, but you know what? We haven't talked about what the Bears did. They signed Mike Glennon. 3 years. Lots of guaranteed money.
Yep. That's beautiful. That's
smoking
beautiful.
Mike Glennon.
RIP to Jay Cutler. We still haven't seen where those quarterbacks are going to land yet, right? Like, we still haven't seen where Cutler and Romo are going to land.
My favorite thing about this offseason that isn't Lions related obviously has to be the Brock Osweiler trade.
Oh my
to Cleveland
God.
Because, you know, Cleveland, second favorite team. But the fact that the Cowboys came out and said, all right, there were so many sources that said they're going to cut Tony Romo. And then all of a sudden the next day it was, oh no, they're going to trade him. They're going to trade Romo. And all of the teams were like, we're calling your bluff right now. We're not trading for Tony Romo. We'll wait until he hits the open market because you guys will have to release him.
And meanwhile, here's Houston, who have just, they've thrown all their chips in because now they've gotten rid of Brock Osweiler, and it's now sink or swim. It's either you take someone in the draft or you try to get Romo. I thought they were going to get Romo like the same day after they traded away Osweiler. It's like they've got a new lease on life. Let's go for the Romo.
Let's go for the Romo.
Let's go for the Romo. Cutler's becoming a Jets quarterback. It's fate. It's going to happen.
Where's Kellen Moore going?
He's going on the road to WrestleMania, where he will meet
John Cena!